The CPI printed millions of posters, buttons, pamphlets, and the like in 11 languages, not counting English. The committee eventually had more than 20 subdivisions, with offices in America and around the world. The Division of News alone issued more than 6,000 releases. Just under 100 pamphlets were printed, with an estimated circulation of 75 million. A typical poster for Liberty Bonds cautioned, "I am public opinion. All men fear me. If you have the money to buy and do not buy, I will make this no man's land for you." A CPI poster asked, "Have you met the Kaiserite? You find him in hotel lobbies, smoking compartments, clubs, offices, even homes. He is a scandalmonger of the most dangerous type. He repeats all the rumors, criticism he hears about our country's part in the war. He's very plausible." People like that, through their vanity or curiosity or treason, they are helping German propagandists sow the seeds of discontent. One of Creel's greatest ideas, an instance of viral marketing before its time, was the creation of an army of nearly 100,000 four-minute men. Each was equipped and trained by the CPI to deliver a four-minute speech at town meetings, in restaurants, in theaters, any place they could get an audience, to spread the word that the very future of democracy was at stake. In 1917 to 1918 alone, some 7,555,190 speeches were delivered in 5,200 communities. These speeches celebrated Wilson as a larger-than-life leader and the Germans as less-than-human Huns. Invariably, the horrors of the German war crimes expanded as the four-minute men plied their trade. The CPI released a string of propaganda films with such titles as The Kaiser, The Beast of Berlin, and The Prussian Kerr. The schools, of course, were drenched in nationalist propaganda. Secondary schools and colleges quickly added war studies courses to the curriculum. And always and everywhere, the progressives questioned the patriotism of anybody who didn't act 100% American. Another Wilson appointee, the socialist muckraker Arthur Ballard, a former writer for the radical journal The Masses and an acquaintance of Lenin's, was also convinced that the state must whip the people up into a patriotic fervor if America was to achieve the transvaluation the progressives craved. In 1917, he published Mobilizing America, in which he argued that the state must electrify public opinion because the effectiveness of our warfare will depend on the ardor we throw into it. Any citizen who did not put the needs of the state ahead of his own was merely dead weight. Bullard's ideas were eerily similar to the Sorelian doctrines of the vital lie. Truth and falsehood are arbitrary terms. There are lifeless truths and vital lies. The force of an idea lies in its inspirational value. It matters very little if it's true or false.